Appreciate your prayers this evening. Recognize that completely dependent upon God. Can't do anything without Him, so there's no point in really trying. I acknowledge my dependency upon Him this evening. I thank the Lord for being here. Thank the Lord for His mercies unto me, to our family, the congregation there in Dallas. So I was thinking, Brother Michael, coming here to Springfield, I may have mentioned to some, we used to come to Springfield when I was a teenager. There was a period of about 5 years when we lived in Des Moines, Iowa, and our family, there was no church there, and we found that the closest church was right here in Springfield. So we would come about once a month, would come and worship with the saints here, and it was some good times that we had together with the saints. And as I was thinking about that in my mind, I believe the last time that I would have been here would have been in 1992, which, if my math is correct, would have been about 27 years ago. And as I was thinking about it, I think I probably was the age of my oldest son sitting over there. And as you think about just your life and what God has in store for you, if you would have told me then, 27 years ago, that the next time you come here would be to hold a revival meeting, I don't think I would have been able to handle that. I may would have looked at you a little funny and said, "What? Huh? You got me mixed up with somebody else." But you know what? God is faithful. God is good to us, and He reveals Himself to us at the appointed time. And when He does, He equips us with everything that we need for whatever He has for us to do. So I certainly appreciate God's blessings and certainly have some words I'd like to share this evening. I pray there will be an encouragement to us as we journey along life's pathway. To encourage us this evening about telling what He's done for us. I think about in a natural sense. You ever been around somebody maybe that just had some exciting news to share? How are they generally, if you think about somebody like that, you imagine they're very excited, aren't they? And it's almost like they can barely contain themselves. And sometimes they may be talking really fast and you might not be able to understand. There's so much excitement that is built up in them for wanting to share this news that they want to have with you that you might have to tell them, just, can you slow down a little bit? You're talking a little bit too fast. I can't understand what you're saying. So can you take your time and just, because I want to know what you have to say. Obviously, it's something really good because you're very excited about it. And in any time that something, you're that excited about something, you want to share it with somebody else. So you have to say, well, just slow down and just, I want to know, but I want to understand what you're saying. And maybe you've been in situations where somebody has something exciting news to tell you, but maybe you have some exciting news to tell them as well. So then you have to decide who's going to go first. Because I want to tell you what I have to tell, and the other person wants to share what they have to share, but we have to kind of take turns, don't you? That's how it works in a natural sense. In the world that we live in today, it seems like most of the things that people want to share are negative things, isn't it? It seems like that's the kind of news that people share nowadays. Did you hear about what happened over here? Did you hear about what happened? Did you hear what so-and-so did? That's not the kind of things we want to be sharing. Lord, help us. You know, sometimes we may be a little bit more eager to share things that we shouldn't share than to really tell about what God has done for us. Like us to consider several verses of familiar texts of Scripture in God's Word that an occasion where
God did something special for several individuals. And let's read about how they responded to it. Like to begin in the 17th chapter of Luke. Consider verses 11 through 16. Again, a very familiar text of scripture. No doubt something that you've read time and time again, but there's just something about God's word that each time that we read it, it can be something about it that's more enlightening to us. We pray that we can get something out of this very familiar text of scripture. Here in Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met he 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? When we think about this very familiar story, could you imagine being those 10 lepers? All they wanted was to be healed, right? That was their aim. They just wanted God, Master, they said, just have mercy on us. And he didn't just heal them right there, but he gave them some instructions, right? And they, apparently, they followed the instructions. He's going to bless. He said, go shew ourselves to the priest. So that's what I'm going to do. As they were on their way, they were cleansed. But, you know, as we think about this story, there's just the one that came back, right? What do we think happened to the other 9? Did they even realize that they were cleansed? And maybe if they even realized that they were cleansed, did they just keep going? Well, he said to go to the priest. Maybe they went, I mean, we don't know. The story doesn't necessarily say what took place, but kind of makes you wonder sometimes, does it? What did they do? But one thing we can take from this story, they did not go back and give God thanks for what he had done for them. So do you think if they didn't even do that, do you think that that's some news that they would have shared with somebody else? If the very one that blessed them, they didn't even thank him, I wouldn't imagine them going around saying, do you know what happened to me? We saw Jesus passing. I imagine they didn't even tell it. Lord, help. I don't want that to be me. I'm not even thanking God for all that he has done. And on top of that, not sharing and expressing it to others, what he's done. Oh, but that one. What one when he realized what had happened? No doubt I could imagine maybe he kind of looked at himself. Am I healed? Maybe, you know, just kind of make sure this is what I had is gone. And when he realized that, he went right back, fell at his feet. Jesus, thank you. You can imagine just the thanksgiving that was in his heart. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. Do you think that one told other folks about it? I believe everybody he met, sit down. I need to tell you something. I can imagine every person that he came in contact with. I need to tell you something that happened to me. Something special that happened to me. What Jesus did for me. That's how God wants us to be, isn't it? He wants us to be like that one that after he gave thanks unto God, everybody that he could find probably. Maybe he was passing people on the street and I can imagine he's stopping them and telling them, I got something to tell you. You need to hear the story of what happened to me. Tell what he's done. There's another account of some one that was lame. Lame from his birth. This account, again, very familiar text of scripture in the 3rd chapter of Acts. Starting at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. So apparently he had somebody with him that carried him around because he wasn't able to walk. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Could you imagine being in that kind of condition where you are completely reliant on somebody else? That every day somebody had to pick him up and carry him in there, sitting him here in front of the temple and begging and asking for alms for all those that went in to pray. And it says, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Just like everybody else, no doubt, that passed through. You have anything for me? You have anything to give me? You see here, I can't move. I'm lame. I can't walk. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. In other words, that they had some eye contact was made, and he's expecting, all right, these brothers are going to, they're going to give me something. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. There's so many things to think about in this little short passage of story here. Talked about a little bit about, imagine being lame. You know, we take it for granted that we just, it's a natural thing. A child is born, and as they grow, they get to that age where we just expect them to start walking. And it, you know, and even sometimes as parents, as they, maybe they're not up to as walking maybe as fast, and we kind of wonder and, well, but pretty soon we don't have to worry about it. Sometimes, you know, I think about as a young parent, you know, you just can't wait for your child to be able to walk. And then when they can finally walk, maybe you kind of wish that they would have waited a little while, because then they're more mobile and they can get into things, can't they? But here this one, lame from his youth, don't know anything about walking. He had an expectation too. As he saw Peter and John, he had an expectation that they're going to give something to me. And you know, he was thinking that it was going to be the same as everybody else. He expected that they're going to give me a little bit of money, and then I'll just keep on begging. Little did he know what special blessing that God had for him that day. That day. You know, sometimes I could imagine maybe there was a little bit of a letdown when they said, well, silver and gold have I none. You could imagine, you know, if that's what you were expecting, I could think, oh, they don't have anything. But that's not the end of the story, is it? We got something that's going to be far better than that for you. We don't have that, but we know Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Amen. Lifting him by the hand. How many of you have had children that just started walking just like that? None of you? That's not normal? Just one day just be able to walk? That's not a normal occurrence? Right? There's some stumbling and things going on. The balance, and there's a lot of aspects of walking that have to be brought into consideration here. And children learn things a lot quicker than adults. So I would think that there was an adult that never walked in their life, that would be quite a process. It would be quite a process to teach an adult how to walk. But this was instant. Instant. He lifted him up by the hand, and the strength entered into his legs and his ankle bones. And he not only, wait a minute. He didn't just go walking, did it? He entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping. Wait a minute. That's a whole nother step here. Think about all these things that got skipped just like that. Wait, you're lame? You don't even know how to walk? And not only are you walking, you jumping and leaping? That's a whole nother level there. To be able to jump and land back on your feet. God had done something special for him. And he realized it. He said he went walking and leaping and praising God. Do you think he shared that with anybody? I could think he just like that one that had the leprosy. I could think everybody he came in contact with, they probably said, wait a minute, aren't you? They may have been the ones telling him, aren't you the one that used to sit at the temple? Look at you. You walking and leaping. Tell what he's done for you. I'm reminded of some of the saints, older saints, some have passed on. Sister, some of you may remember Sister Sheehy back in California. She used to run around the church thinking about all that God had done for her. She couldn't contain her seat. And it wasn't like a full throne. She kind of had a little stroll that she did. But that was a blessing to me. She was expressing her joy in what God had done for her. And so much so that she had to get up and move about. Some of you know Brother Herbert Clay. He still jumps, I believe, every now and then, maybe not as often as he used to. But he'll get excited sometimes and he'll just jump right there. Thankful for all that God has done. Tell what he's done for you. You know, we sing some songs from time to time that encourage us to do this. You know, one of them is song number 225. Says, tell what he's done. What he's done for you. Just considering some of these verses here. Have you found, you know, this is a different level of what God has done. You know, these examples that we read here in the word were about physical healing. But you know what? What about that spiritual healing that God has done for each and every one of us? Have you found rest and peace within? Rolled far away your load of sin? Stepped from the old life unto the new? Tell what the Lord has done for you. It's wonderful. Remember that first time when that load of sin was lifted off of you and the weight just gone. What a blessing. We can't forget about it. We need to remember that from time to time. What God just did for us, even just to save us. One of the other verses says, have you been saved? His love to show, who by your side each day doth go. Every day, leading, guiding, directing. That's wonderful that I can have the great I Am, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that created the entire universe, to walk with me in my life every day. Thank you, Lord. Looking to him to help you through, tell what the Lord has done for you. There's another song that we sing from time to time. It asks the question, what hath the Lord done for thee? This one is 132. And again, looking at several of these verses. Has the Lord done anything for you? Has he done anything for anybody in here? The songwriter says, what hath the Lord done for thee? When he found that within was inherited sin, unto him for relief did I flee. By the blood from his side, he my soul sanctified. He changed my whole life around and made it better. That's what he did for me. What hath the Lord done for thee? Well, he gives me each day grace. Grace to walk in his way. He makes me happy for every moment I see. And with joy, he fills up and he overflows my cup. That's what God done for me. That's what he's done for me. Every day, grace for every day. Happy for every moment. Even the not so wonderful moments. Thank you, Lord. That's what he's done for me. You know what? If you thought about if the only thing that God did for you and I was to save us and to sanctify us, just that would be enough for us for the rest of our lives to be able to express our thanksgiving to God. Just that in itself. And to be able to tell other folks, this is what God's done for me. If it just stopped there, that would be enough. Wouldn't it? That would just, if that was it. But that's not it, is it? He didn't stop there. He gives even more. And he blesses us in so many ways. What good does it do if God does something for me and I keep it to myself? You know, when you think about that, That really doesn't, I mean, you, there is something about expressing what God has done by us verbally expressing and hearing ourselves say what God has done for us. That there's something different about that than just accepting something for ourselves. Oh, and acknowledging, oh Lord, I thank you for doing this. It's different. It's something about just the way God made us. When we hear it, it just it does something different for us. So it's a benefit for me when I hear myself express all that God has done for me. And I can think about not only just all that he's done. It's not like he stopped. It's continual. Just on and on and on. And you know, life is kind of a cycle, isn't it? We go through times where we're real encouraged and then we hit a trial or a battle and we get a little low. And in those times, we can remember what God has done for us. And that can be an encouragement to us. I know what God did over here. And I know that he's still the same God. So if he's done it for me then, he's not going to change. So Lord, help me to be in the place that I need to be in to be able to receive whatever else you have for me to receive. What about, does God bless us for the benefit of others? Imagine that. Do you think that other people are inspired and encouraged by God blessing you? Absolutely. Why? Because he's no respecter of persons. If he's doing that for one over here, then he will do it for this one over here. So I can be encouraged and inspired in my heart. When you express all that God has done for you, it can be an encouragement and inspiration to me, and I can be encouraged to keep pressing on. Maybe I'm in the midst of a battle or a trial and a test, and I just hearing you express what God has done for you can be just what I need to help me to push through. But what if you just kept that to yourself? If you just held it in, then I would never get that blessing, would I? I wouldn't get it. See why it's so important for us to tell what God has done for us? I need it. You need it. We all need it. We need to know what God has done for us because it can encourage us and inspire us to press on day by day. You know, sometimes we might think, well, this was just something that just seemed so little and so trivial. You know what? That in itself should encourage us. That really, that the great God of heaven that has 7 billion plus people to be concerned about, and he blesses me when I misplace my keys? Huh? There's 7+ billion people in the world, and here's me over here, and I can't find my keys. Lord, help me find my keys. And how many times has that happened to us? That's an encouragement, isn't it? Just something so little and so just. That's even more encouraging to us. I had bought a trimmer for edger for the yard. And I was changing out the string. And, you know, the string, you have to wind it around and then you poke it in the holes. And those of you who had done a little work on your yard, you know what I'm talking about. And inside of there, there's a little spring. So I kept having problems with the line. I think the line must just be too thin. So I kept it every time I had to take it off and take. And one of the times I took it off. And the next time I got to put it back on, I was like, oh, no, Where's that spring? Where? Oh, I'm going all, I knew I was only in the front yard. And I'm walking up and down the yard, looking, trying to feel with my hands and my feet. I'm looking for this spring. Then I called the family out. Had my children out in the yard, looking all through the yard for this little spring that's about this big that'll fit in my hand. That significant? Some little spring? What did, Lord, you know exactly where that spring is. Father, would you just lead me to it and help me find that spring? You know, sometimes we outsmart ourselves. We put things in places, in a perfect spot, where we, and then we forget about, where did I put, and then when we find it, oh yeah, it made so much sense to put it right there. Guess where I found that spring? I had set it in my toolbox. He led me right to it. I could have found that spring. I could have said, this is it. I'm going to have to go buy another one. It could have happened, and I could have found that spring 5 years, and what is this thing for? But God, he did that for me. I remember sharing that on a Wednesday night in prayer meeting. It can be an encouragement. Well, if God can do that for me, he'll do something for that. Just for you as well. Maybe it's not the spring. It could be what you understand the point. You understand? One of the scriptures in Philippians talks about our requests, but there's a prerequisite that is given. In Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Is that what it says? Oh, we missed something? With thanksgiving. Before, Lord, I'll lay some more burdens on you. Before I give you some more of my problems, let me give you praise and thanks for what you've already done for me. And maybe half the time, when I get finished thanking him for all that he's done, I might even forget about the new stuff I was going to dump on him. You know, we can be encouraged and inspired as we read these stories in the Bible. They can be an inspiration to us. But you know what I feel is even more of an inspiration? All of us. We're his disciples in the earth, in the world today. And if God is doing that for my brothers and my sisters today, he can do that for me too. I can still be encouraged by his word, but this is one that I see, that I can touch and feel, and they can express, this is what God has done for me. That can be an inspiration more than just reading it in God's word. You see, the responsibility that we have, that I have, is not just for me. It's for all of God's people. It's for all of God's people. What about those requests that take time? I think about a particular request that my wife and I had for over 10 years. For over 10 years, praying and looking to God to bless in a certain request that we had. In all that time, we still were thankful and grateful for all that God had was doing, all that he had already done, all that he was doing in our lives, and looking forward to what he was going to do You know, we can't be discouraged if God's timing is a little bit different than ours. His timing is always right. And you know what? When he answered that request, he far exceeded our expectations. You know the verse that says he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think? That's what he did. Did it take a little time? Yes. Was it worth it? Yes, it was. Once again, God knows what he's doing. Way better than I could have figured and planned. And, you know, if I would have had my way with the matter, he would have answered the request, you know, but. No, you think about maybe somebody say, well, I can't think of anything. Are you saved? Has everybody that ever got saved, are they still saved? No? So if I can be saved today and then next week I'm still saved, that's something, isn't it? God, that's something. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me saved another week. That's something in itself. So if that's the only thing, I can thank the Lord for that. You know, sometimes the enemy of our soul would try to deceive us and trick us when it's time for testimonies on Wednesday night. Well, I don't have anything to say. God doesn't necessarily want you to stand up and give a sermon. Just give the devil a blow. I thank the Lord that I'm still saved, I'm still sanctified, and I'm encouraged to press on. And that's enough in itself. I'd like to consider one other verse of scripture. It's found in the 19th chapter of Luke. Start reading at verse 37. It says here, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen God do in them and in others. Just praising God for all that he had done. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. As I think about this scenario here, this scene, I don't imagine that they were whispering. Thank you, Lord. It said with a loud voice, blessed be the King. Is he worthy? Has he done anything for us? But there was some there, some of the Pharisees from among the multitudes said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Why don't you quiet them down? They're making too much noise. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. One writer put it like this. If this multitude were silent, God would give even to the stones a voice that the advent of the Messiah might be duly celebrated. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine if a stone had a voice? Well, it'll get to that if we don't open our mouth. There's a song that says, I don't want a rock to cry out for me. I want to cry out for me, for all that God has done for me. I want to be the one to give him praise and thanksgiving for that. I don't want a rock doing that on my behalf. Pray this evening that we're encouraged and inspired to tell what God has done for us. The song says, tell what he's done for you. Tell of his love, so strong and true. Tell what he's done for you. Others may need him too. I desire your prayers that I would always be in the place that I would tell what God has done for me. And it don't matter who or where, that I would be a willing vessel to be able to express the goodness of God. I desire your prayers. Appreciate your time and your attention this evening.